Natural Living with Gary Null, exploring the nature and politics of medicine, health, nutrition, and the environment. And now your host, Gary Null.
And welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Null. For those of you who are just coming across the dial, we're talking about health and nutrition issues. And I'm trying to bring you some of the latest update information, taking you to some of the topics that generally do not get what I would consider adequate or even fair or balanced coverage, sometimes not covered at all, yet all of them do play some significance. So I'm going to take you on a little journey now. I'm going to share several different articles with you. One is on lymphatic cancer and bovine growth hormone. Now, this is something we have not heard before, and this comes from Robert Cohen. I'll quote it. An epidemic rise is in one underpublicized category of cancers and should sound alarm for all Americans. This is a powerful link to the dramatic surge in lymphatic cancer. The 1994 approval of the genetically engineered bovine growth hormone. Before 1995, lymphatic cancers were comparatively rare. Not now. Today, if one adds up the total number of cancer deaths from breast cancer, prostate cancer, lung cancer, pancreatic cancer, and genital cancers, they do not cumulatively equal the number of deaths from lymphatic cancers. Do I have your attention? This year, Americans will consume nearly 180 billion pounds of milk and dairy products in various forms. That will average out to 666 pounds per American, nearly 40% of the average American diet. Cheese eaters, ice cream slurpers, and milk drinkers of both sexes and every age will be ingesting dairy products from hormonally treated cows. Most Americans are unaware that laboratory animals treated with bovine growth hormone experience enormous changes in their lymphatic systems. The spleens of these animals grew dramatically. The controversial genetically modified cow hormone was approved for human consumption in February of 1994. Cancer statistics have recently been published by the U.S. Census Bureau comparing death rates from cancer by a sex and age group in 1980, 1990, in 1995. These data support evidence of a runaway plague. All of America became a laboratory study for human growth hormone, or bovine growth hormone, which is now in America's ice cream, cheese, and pizzas. So, what does all this mean? What it means is that we are suffering. There are small increases and decreases in lymphatic cancer rates from 1980 to 1990, depending upon sex and age group. What happened in 1995 represents the most dramatic short-term increase of any single cancer in the history of epidemiological discovery and analysis. Death rates from lymphatic cancer by sex and age from 1980 to 95, deaths per 100,000 population in specific age groups. For example, from 1980 to 90. You had, in ages 35 to 44, you had 4.1, and you only had to go from 4.1 deaths per 100,000 to 4.5 deaths, virtually non-significant, no increase. In people ages 45 to 54, you had 10.2 versus 10.9. Again, no significance, not even a one single person addition. In people 55 to 64, it went from 24 to 27, people 65 to 74, 48 to 56, and people 75 to 84, it went from 80 to 104. People already over 85, it went 93 to 140. Now, that's up what happened in 1995. The same age groups, we went from 4 to 44. That's a 2,095% increase. In the ages 45 to 54, we went from 10 to 140. That's a 2,345% increase. Ages 55 to 64, we went from 24 people dying of lymphatic cancer per 100,000 population, 24 to 357. That's 2,141% increase. Ages 65 to 74, we went from 48 dying to 690 dying. That's a 1,749% increase. And from ages 75, 80 to 1,060, that's 1,495% increase. And over 95, we had 93, we went to 1,249. That's 1,588% increase. Now, no other disease has had such a marked increase in a 15-year period. Had almost no growth in 15 years, and then in the last 6 years, it's just gone crazy. The only thing that we can really explain this to is the introduction of the bovine growth hormone, because people's consumption of dairy products has stayed about the same or increased slightly. And there was an article, the FDA published an article in the journal Science, August 24th, 1990. The data in that paper revealed that the average male rat received bovine growth hormone developed a spleen 39% larger than the spleen of the control animals after just 90 days of treatment. And the spleens from bovine growth treated females increased in size by a factor of 46%. These are not normal reactions, and these were under attack by genetically modified hormones. The spleen is the first line of defense in a mammal's lymphatic system. So what's happening to us in humans? Well, take a look. This information is courtesy of Robert Cohen, Executive Director of the Dairy Educational Board. And I want people to be aware that we should be off all dairy products of all kinds so that we do not subject ourselves to an increase in lymphatic cancer. On to another topic. This comes courtesy of Craig and Shirley Carroll. And it's entitled, The Epidemic of Unnecessary Mastectomy, How Not to Be a Victim. And it comes actually from an article by Michael Philip Wright in Norman, Oklahoma. We are living in the age of health scare campaigns. This is because we have in the United States a massive profit-oriented industry involving doctors, hospitals, HMOs, clinics, laboratories, biotechnology companies, researchers. All of these enterprises are nourished by health scares. For years, one of the common money makers for surgery done to women was hysterectomy. Unfortunately for the promoters of this type of mutilation, the excessive enthusiasm among doctors for it has come to be exposed. For example, it was reported by the Journal of the American Medical Association that only 58% of a group of 642 hysterectomy cases could be justified as appropriate. It has become expedient for medical profiteers to develop new markets, and mastectomy has been emerging as the current favored gold mine. I want to stop for a moment, just focus on that for a couple of reasons. First, think of it this way. Think of how many times we've been told that an operation was necessary. In the case of operations such as mastectomy, people are almost never given options. They're told, this is what you have, this is the problem, it's not going to get any better, so go ahead and accept it. People go ahead and do that. But if you were to go into a nutritionist's office or a medical doctor's office and they suggested an herb, and then that would be called quackery, that would be called unscientific, you would be scolded for having even considered that as an option. Isn't it interesting that here the AMA, the official overseer of all orthodox approaches and protocols, because after all, you can't really practice any form of orthodox medicine that is not accredited, hence approved. And that's where you get your insurance coverage, and that's also where you get your malpractice insurance coverage. By the way, most holistic doctors don't even have malpractice insurance. You talk about courageous and taking a risk, that's certainly one, because the therapies they're using, like vitamin C and chelation, orthodox medicine refuses to acknowledge it, irrespective of the evidence that it helps people and does no harm. So here we have known harm being done. You see, there's another way of looking at this. The AMA could have said in its journal, that 42% of all procedures of hysterectomy on women were quackery. Therefore, those women should be notified that they should get their money back for the entire expenditure for having their ovaries removed and frequently causing death. It was just out and out quackery, the hysterectomy. But it didn't play that way, and none of the doctors reprimanded. And no one had to give up back any money. Everything went along just as it always has. A study report by Rutgers University, found that 53% of the mastectomies done on a group of 142 women were unnecessary. That's more than half unnecessary. And yet you'll find rarely an article criticizing what is done and to women unnecessarily. This group could have been effectively treated with lumpectomy, but the slash and burn surgeons found it more profitable to mutilate them. Mastectomies create opportunities for their colleagues in the cosmetic breast reconstruction business. In 1 year, I read where Dr. Julian Whitaker, in his newsletter, Health and Healing, pointed out that since 1986, the number of mammogram clinics in the United States has tripled. Big money has been invested in these clinics, and investors profit by scaring women about breast cancer so they will start having routine mammograms at an early age. Breast cancer scare stories frequently appear in daily newspapers. Mammogram interpretations are unreliable. According to an article in the Journal of the American Medical Association, one study revealed a false positive rate in the range of 63%. This suggests that huge numbers of women are unnecessarily going through the pain, expense, and anxiety of biopsies. The claim that a woman has, quote, one chance in nine of developing breast cancer is often repeated. This is manipulation and dishonest use of statistics. The scaremongers fail to point out that they are talking about lifetime cumulative odds, unadjusted for risk factors. In other words, the statement means that a woman of average risk has one chance in nine of developing breast cancer at some time in her life before she dies. This is very different from annual incidence of breast cancer. Annual incidence is about 1 in 1,000 of all women, and much less for younger women. And regarding the 1 in 9 claim, Professor Craig Henderson of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco, who calculated that a woman would have to reach the age of 110 before her lifetime odds of having breast cancer would be as high as 1 in 9. These are just crude odds and ignore the issue of real factors. There is something very important that breast cancer scare campaigners often neglect to tell women. Smoking and obesity elevate risk of breast cancer. Women who don't smoke and who aren't overweight are at significantly reduced risks. On the nutrition side, there is opinion that eating more cruciferous vegetables reduces breast cancer risk, and that the antioxidant vitamins are also cancer fighters. Additionally, in 1997, evidence surfaced indicating excessive drinking as a breast cancer risk factor. In an article published in the medical journal Lancet on November 22, 1997, describes a study which concluded that 25% of breast cancers may be attributable to alcohol consumption, but there is no additional risk associated with light drinking. Drinking of long duration was also mentioned as a risk factor, but only for women who were defined as moderate to heavy drinkers. That's more than 5 grams of alcohol a day. It didn't say how many years were required to be considered long duration. The scare campaigners often neglect the task of telling women how they can reduce their risk through lifestyle choices. Instead, they talk up the idea of a bad gene, which they say accounts for breast cancer. The typical scare campaign message usually goes something like this. 1, either you have this genetic curse or you don't. 2, if you have it, then there's no hope for you except through early detection and intervention, through routine mammograms initiated at a young age. 3, if your mom or grandmom had breast cancer, then you probably also have it, the bad gene, so you're in trouble for it. Women exposed to this kind of talk from doctors or other health personnel should ask a few questions. ask if the epidemiological research involving the alleged genetic connection actually controlled for grandma's lifestyle. Did grandma smoke? Was she overweight? Did she eat a lot of cruciferous vegetables? Did she take antioxidant vitamins? Was she a heavy drinker? Unless the studies control for these variables, then conclusions from research about the bad gene are absolutely garbage. News articles in the 1990s began to report that the idea of preventative mastectomy is being promoted for women believed to carry the bad gene, even if they have no signs of breast cancer. An AP story carried by the Dallas Morning News on April 17, 1997, bears the headline, "Pre-cancer mastectomies success noted." The lead paragraph describes the practice of removing both breasts while they are still healthy as increasingly common. Well, about the bad gene, there's a school of opinion which holds that inorganic toxins, not viruses or bad genes, are primarily the cause of cancer. Tobacco use associated with lung cancer is a prominent example. This viewpoint does not rule out the possibility that some may possess a genetic advantage in resisting the effect of a toxin, but genes are not seen as the causal or causal agent. The problem with the toxicology approach is that its wide acceptance would be politically unfeasible for the ruling interests of the U.S. society. Industrial corporations and military organizations which pollute the environment would be seen as culpable. Further, drug manufacturers and medical enterprises engaged in surgery have far less to gain by focusing blame for cancer on toxins. The toxicology approach undermines opportunities to peddle vaccines, antiviral drugs, and so-called preventative mastectomies. Asking questions and understand diagnostic procedures is important. Healthcare consumers need always to bear in mind the fact that there is no such thing as a perfectly accurate diagnostic procedure. Although doctors deliver the results of diagnostic tests with godlike authority, there is a substantial body of health science literature devoted to the measurement of error rates. Women under 50 are being convinced to begin having routine mammogram tests. The medical system is already putting them on track, which has the potential of leading thousands to unnecessary mastectomies resulting from diagnosing errors in implementation of the bizarre practice of preventive mastectomy. And by the way, not long ago, as an aside, I had an opportunity in a casual environment. I was actually at a friend's art gallery opening, and a man came over to me and said that he listened to the show and been listening for a number of years, and he introduced me to his sister who was there, who had a preventive mastectomy, as had his mother. The guy's about 23 years old, and I had a chance for about 10 minutes to talk with her about a preventive mastectomy. And I asked her, "Did you smoke?" "No." "Drink?" "No." She was a vegetarian. I said, "Take supplements?" "Yes." "Did your mother drink?" "No." "Smoke?" "No." She wasn't a vegetarian, but she wasn't overweight either. And through a member of her family who is a physician, she was involved in a series of examinations, and she was deemed to have had the gene that causes breast cancer. And after a lot of deliberation, it was decided that it would be in the best interest of the mother and daughter to have their breasts, completely healthy breasts, normal breasts, removed. They did so, and the doctors deemed it an enormous success, and that they should be very proud of this. And so I ask a question, how did you disprove a negative? And the guy is in graduate school, and he thought, and he said, "You can't." I said, "That's correct, you can't." "So how could the doctors give you any assurance that you prevented yourself from having or developing cancer? The fact that you took the breasts off, there is no way in the world that they could have predicted that you would have seen your daughter or your sister and mother develop breast cancer. And what about all the other cancers? They claim that they have a colorectal cancer. They don't, but they claim it. People are going to start having parts of their colon removed. And what about an ovarian cancer? They're going to remove the ovaries of healthy women. And I said, you begin to see the fact that all this could have been mitigated by just doing research. And there's where it kind of hit that invisible wall of conformity. He said, well, we did do research. And we found that, yes, diet will, and antioxidants, all this stuff. But the doctor just convinced us, who was a family member, that all that was uncertain, unproven. But this surgery would absolutely remove any chance of dying of breast cancer. I said, so now your sister, who is young, has no breasts. And she had no cancer. I said, that same approach is used if someone says, I have depression, let me get electroconvulsive therapy. I will remove whole parts of my mind and memory until I become re-depressed. Well, your sister could develop another form of cancer, as could your mother. It's just, it's the way that we line up behind something that in time will be looked upon as absolute quackery and mutilation of women. No woman should ever have preventive mastectomy. It is the height of barbarism, sodomy against women. And yet it's being done more and more. The population groups that are going in with healthy breasts, mother and daughters, getting them taken off, and everybody feels good about it. The surgeon, the anesthesiologist, the hospital, everybody. It's just so ridiculous. But try to convince that of people. Try to convince even people who listen to this radio show. That's the interesting part. He listened to this radio show. And yet they still went ahead and had it done. Remember, false positives conclude that disease is present when it is truly absent. That can lead to unnecessary surgeries. False negatives, concluding that disease is absent when it is truly present, leads people then to believe that they're not sick when they are. That's all coming from improper diagnosing. Sensitivity is the accuracy measure associated with false negative error. A highly sensitive test will have a low false negative rate, and specificity is the accuracy measure associated with false positive error. A highly specific test will also have a low false positive error rate. So, there we have it. Lots of things going on in the way of preventing things that we shouldn't have in the first place. Women are just being mutilated by medicine, and no one's looking at the facts and the risk game. Let's go on to another issue. I'm Gary Nall. Oh, I'm looking at the clock. And it says that we are coming at the end of this particular segment of our program. If you have issues that you would like to see me address on the air, please send them to GaryNull.com, www.GaryNull.com. I review those, and then I see what are the topics that are of most interest to most people, then do the research on it and make presentations for you. I have some very interesting ones coming up. I'm going to do a whole program, an entire hour, on vivisection and of mice, money, and medical misconceptions. Just imagine that everything you've been told about animal testing was wrong. We're going to examine that. I want to thank you very much for listening to this segment of our program.
All right. Are you back with us, Gary?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You're tuned to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, listener-sponsored radio, commercial-free community radio. I was a little distracted there. Had some other folks in the studio talking about some other issues, and then, well, there you go. But, you know, my partner is...
I was just doing the second part of yesterday's show.
That's correct, right. And we're just about concluded with that, if I'm
not mistaken. Yeah, that segment is completed.
Okay. All right, well, we're still...
Well, that means that... good afternoon, Gary. It's Matthew.
Hi, Matthew.
With Michael. That would mean we are now into fundraising mode for the
yes.
next couple of minutes before we go back to the second produced portion of the program. And, folks, we are in our final week here, and our the number to call, our pledge line, indeed our lifeline, I think you know it well, but we'll remind you, 212-209-2950. We've got one caller on the line. Again, what Gary is offering for you this afternoon is a whole range of packages. We'll begin with, of course, The Joy of Juicing, and that is that that marvelous new book, title that you may know, longtime listeners, but content is brand new, from Gary Null and Shelley Null, a beautiful volume. These the publishers who are the Avery Company, did a special run of this book specifically for the radio audience so that they would get the book before it hits the stands and before it hits the stores. So that is available to you. Marvelous book. Now, we were very strapped for time yesterday and had to rush through a whole lot of the other premiums and other packages and other materials offered by Gary Null and Natural Living. But we will perhaps have a little more time to get into those today, most especially the 10-hour lecture series. There are two of them on cassette tape.
How did that go yesterday? We were only on pitching about 10 minutes.
I don't know. I was as soon as I was out of the studio, I was sort of out of the loop for the for most of the rest of the day. So I didn't get a look at what those numbers were.
Somewhere in the neighborhood of about $3,000.
Okay, it was about $3,000 in about 24 minutes. So that was not a bad start. That was not a bad start. We have a little more time this afternoon, however, and we have our first caller on the line making a pledge to keep listener-supported radio. What we were hearing about and speaking about yesterday was the those two 10-hour taped seminar sessions, one of them called the Women's Health Lecture Series. That's 10 hours of lectures from Gary Null. These are not tapes of programs. These are specially prepared audio presentations from Gary Null on women's health and other related issues, as well as the other one, which was the 10 hours on...
joyful and happy life.
Exactly.
10 steps to a joyful and happy life.
And either of those, now these are the high-end premiums, but either of those are available to the listeners of this audience, for those of you who can make the premium pledge of $200 right now at 212-209-2950.
I was in a cab last night, going over to our health support group to a lecture, and the cab driver, who was listening to BAI at the time, and Levine was on doing a five-hour special. And when I went to get out of the cab, and I said, thank you, and gave him the tip, he said, that boy sounds to me. He said, you Gary Null? I said, yeah. He's a man, he says, listen to show day. And he says, you know something? My girlfriend got in on that thing. I said, how so? And she evidently attended the group. We had several hundred people attend the group. And she would come home and they'd go over stuff. And she kept her journal. And he said, it's made a big difference. I said, what kind of difference? He said, well, when she started, she was depressed all the time. She'd been depressed about 5 or 6 years. And she'd never really gotten over a miscarriage she'd had. And the doctors had suggested all kinds of medications, mainly tranquilizers, and she was overweight. She had ballooned up, and because she had ballooned up, it even furthered her depression. She became very inactive, and she quit her job. And so she did not a whole lot of anything, and so we didn't have much of a relationship for a long time. And now she's happy. She's back at work. She's a school teacher. And she has lost over 100 pounds and has kept it off. And they're doing the whole thing together. And we talked for about 25 minutes right there at the front of the in front of the office. My throat's a little sore. I was on from midnight till 9 this morning, broadcasting on commentary nonstop. That stressed the voice a little bit. Anyhow, he said that connecting with the inner healer was the one that was most significant, because they had never thought about having a healing power inside. And I did a whole two-hour lecture about all healing really must begin at the spiritual level if it's to really sustain. And then I explained what that means. And I explained the difference between if you have an arthritic joint, or if you have a, you know, if you have cataracts or high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol, fibromyalgia, whatever you have, We only see this physical manifestation. We do not see it and what might be causing it. And I took people on a journey of what causes conflict. And one of the outcomes, just one of the outcomes of conflict, is frequently disease. But there are many other outcomes to conflict. And I go through each one of those conflicts, like just rudeness, crudeness. Even down at, I ran down to the health food store just about a half hour before the show to pick up a juice. I hadn't had time to juice. And as I'm getting off the elevator, this woman just rants on this guy because he didn't get out of the way quick enough. And he didn't say anything. And then she turned around, she said something else. And so I just interceded. And I said, we're in a supposedly a healing and healthy place. What is the purpose of that energy here? She looked at me and she said something I can't repeat. It was not polite. And I'm thinking, now, how often I've seen this? How often? In fact, I saw it so frequently that I had one of the most successful health food stores in New York City, and I walked away with, didn't even ask a penny, gave the key to my brother and said, Steve, I don't want to be around these people anymore because they're just not nice. And I work so hard every day to try to give insight to these people. In fact, I've stayed away from everyone in the health movement because I haven't found anyone healthy in the health movement. I haven't found anyone spiritual in the spiritual movement, peaceful in the peace movement. You know, New Age and blissful in the New Age movement. I'm as far away from any movement as you can get. Because what a person says and what their ideals are supposed to be and how distant they are from actualizing it can be light years. And this was just one example. Pushing, hurrying, scurrying, meanness, defensiveness. All what? To buy a Sprout box? What? You know, to massage some tofu? What's the purpose of it? So when, in fact, the fellow who was kind of yelled at because he wasn't quick enough to get out of someone's way, we talked for a few minutes about the negative energy you find in supposedly healthy places. And I said, you know, it's simple. People are trying to connect, but not on the level that's really going to heal. They're connecting superficially. It's just a ritual to assuage some guilt of not doing enough. And that's why the arthritis really doesn't stay away. The weight doesn't stay off. The migraine doesn't stay abandoned from the brain if you don't make that kind of deeper healing connection. But when you do, all does life change. Everything is different. How you approach problems are different. How you deal with negative people are different. We all have toxic and negative people in our lives. The difference is we end up paying for their lessons. They don't learn it. We pay for it, and we don't gain from it because we've been conditioned to continue to tolerate and to adapt to everyone else's toxic reactions, and we don't create healthy boundaries. So in connecting with your inner healer, the two-hour tape that's a part of the 10 steps to a joyful and happy life, I go through a whole series of discussion on how to identify what you want to connect with and then how to disconnect from habits and behaviors that create conflict, even inadvertently or as a side effect of not making right choices. Because a lot of people know what to do. They just, every time they go to do it, they are stuck. Just like the guy who ends up supporting his sister and mother and having a preventative mastectomy for healthy breasts being removed. And he listens to this show. But that doesn't mean anything. 95% of people listen to this show don't live healthier or not happier or angrier. You know, and I see it every day. Even in my class last night, one single woman in the entire class after almost 6 months said that she had made changes that affected her because the rest were still stuck on something I asked. In fact, we spent the entire class on it. In fact, our next class next week's on the same topic. In fact, they can't get back into class next week if they don't show that they're making change because I said, you're wasting my time. I'm not here just to entertain you or give you insights. I want to see you actualize it. Education, information, and wisdom without actualizing is nothing. It's zero. Stop playing the New York intellect hustle game. Everybody talks like they know something. So few people do it. God, have I seen enough of that. And so I ask him, what do you gain from staying where you're at? What do you gain from staying in a bad relationship? What do you gain from holding on to your anger? What do you gain from blaming everyone for what doesn't work in your life? What do you gain from manipulating? What do you gain from being manipulated? What do you gain from being fat? If you're fat, you gain something from it. Ah, now think about that for a moment. Oh, Gary, no. Oh, yeah, it's not your thyroid. Get on that, Jack. You gain. When you bury your face in something, you gain. You shoot coke, you gain. You drink coffee, you gain. You're sarcastic, you gain. You're anti-Semitic, you gain. You're racist, you gain. If you're a liar, you gain. You're a con, you gain. Manipulate, you gain. If you use your vagina or testicles or penis as a trap, a fly trap, to gain a relationship, you gain. It's all a game. Most people wouldn't know the truth because their whole life is a game. The trouble is you want something else, but you desire it doesn't mean you're going to get it because you don't realize what you gain from making all the wrong choices. And so the conflict, the resistance, is not in making good, healthy, proper choices. That's easy. Ask anybody who's really changed. They never have to look back. They never have to do the blame game. They never have to say, my mother didn't breast milk. Don't have to do that stuff. My father didn't tell me I was... Forget that. Bradshaw and the rest of the people in the world, grow up. All right? Your mother had diddly squat to do with you. What has to do with you now is you're a mature adult. Take responsibility. God, is it so hard to grow up and take responsibility for anything in your life? Well, yeah, Gary, because we're victims. See, we wake up in the morning, we put a merit badge on. I suffer, therefore I am. I'm abused. I had, and this. Yeah, right. Inhabit another planet, it'd be easy to fill it. You could survive on the sun. The intensity of that anger is seething. The intensity of the reaction is predictable. Cause and effect. Here's what it means. Until you appreciate what you gain from the choices you've made, including your suffering and disease, you'll never connect with what is going to heal. And if you think you can connect with something good and hold on to something that's destructive, that's a game, and you'll lose. And that's where most people are in this movement. A doctor came into my office this morning, spent 2.5 hours talking with me about the frustration he's having, and he's thinking about closing up his office. Because he says, Gary, I see all these patients. I give them healthy protocols, and I've even gotten some of your protocols. They don't follow them. I says, well, you can't really have a holistic practice until you've got a person willing to make holistic choices. And he said, but I'm on Long Island. I said, really? I said, well, there's a place people go for tranquility, peace, clean air, and nice, friendly, warm, fuzzy neighbors. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I said, there's a lot of other reasons. I won't go into that discussion, but I told him about people will take on the impression where they're at. But he got the message, and he also got some hope that it's not to be despondent because he hasn't met the right people. He's just in the wrong place. There's too few. I said, you're going into the desert trying to make an oasis and cursing the sands that blow onto your oasis. I said, go to a place where people are more inclined to appreciate the message and therapies you're giving them. Don't condemn the other people or not. They've made those choices. Look, someone comes in an office and says, my arthritis, glucosamine, isn't it? One pill, glucosamine. You say, no, it's not a deficiency of glucosamine that causes your arthritis. It's your attitude, it's your life, it's your job, it's your relationship, it's everything you... Well, I don't want to give anything up. I'm not going to give up my cheeseburgers. My doodly-dees, I'm not going to give up anything, Gary. Well, then enjoy your arthritis. You earned it. Take responsibility. And nobody wants to take responsibility for anything that goes wrong. A bank thief will brag to colleagues if they get away with it. And they'll condemn the world for having been abused as a child, and that's caused them to make wrong choices if they get caught. People on Wall Street hi-fi if they skim and scam at someone else's expense. Let them get caught. Suddenly it's a bad life. One of the steps, connecting with your inner healer, deals with everything I was just talking about and takes you from playing the victim or being the victim and causing victimization to healing. And this journey is one that can change your life. That's just one of the 10 steps. And that's what that guy last night and I spoke with. That's why I was about 5 minutes late getting into our health support group. I got there 5 after 7. We normally start 7 to 7:10. And not everyone come in yet. So I was watching people still come upstairs. So we continued this conversation because his female partner has changed her life. Not by a diet. That's secondary. Not by any vitamin supplement. Didn't put her on a vitamin protocol for depression. No. She was in the 10 Steps lecture series, and the one that connected her was she connected with her in her healing. She will never again make choices that she doesn't want to be a part of. We just don't appreciate that every bad choice we make gains us something, even if it gains us pain or suffering. It's hard to imagine because we don't like the image of ourselves in the presence of others that would be so foolish to intentionally stay in a situation or cause something to happen that would be negative. And yet we do it all the time. We're risking all the time in inappropriate ways. There's appropriate risks and inappropriate risks. And so the 10 steps to a joyful and happy life get you to honor your life. Get you to get rid of the toxic people in your life. Get you to make the right choices to de-stress yourself so you're not looking to sublimate by losing yourself on a telephone like your time doesn't matter. Talking with people who are not going to pay attention to you anyhow. Connecting with your essential self. Finding the joy in everything you can do each day. And then when you see the world, oh, do you see it for what it is? We can either start our journey of wellness listening to Steve Halperin melodies and kind of floating above the clouds, building our little Taj Mahals somewhere in the stratosphere and never reaching it. And the first time we have a crisis, we crash to ground. Or we can go down to the bedrock and to dig through the mud and sludge and all the infirmities and sensitivities of a person to get to the bedrock. And no matter how ugly or brutal that bedrock is, that's upon which everything in your life that's going to have meaning will be built. That's your foundation. I would rather have a person who acknowledges their insecurities, their limitations, acknowledges the worst that they are as a human being, and once they at least have identified it, then they can surrender it. You cannot surrender what you're not willing to acknowledge, and we're in the denial business. People lie about everything because we're afraid that if we tell the truth about anything that's weak in us, if we ever take responsibility for bad choices and ask for forgiveness for them, we'll be criticized. It'll be held against us. Somewhere there's a big checkout counter and we've got a long list of things that's on our receipts of things we shouldn't have said, shouldn't have done, shouldn't even thought, did so, spent our life in denial, and now at the checkout counter we're getting it. So what do? We focus upon our positives, we deny our weaknesses, and we stay frustrated and limited. But we gain something from that. It's time to gain from the good, not from the bad. It's time to transform your life. If that's a journey you're willing to take, and not everyone is, if that's some steps you're willing to listen to, put it out on the table, roll it around, challenge it, grapple with it, argue with it. But if in the end, what I'm suggesting in these 10 steps make more sense in deconstructing the arguments that you'd be putting forth to hold on to a toxic decisions than otherwise, then you may have a path to really a happy and joyful life and a healed life. So that's it. The 10 steps to a joyful and happy life. That's what we're offering and probably one of the single most important premiums I've offered. And I realize that when I put the word out to do lectures, and I don't even put the word out because we're always packed, so only a limited number of people, in this case about 280 people, were able to attend or thereabouts. And for all the others who would like to benefit from that, that's why I edited these. Are edited, professional quality, long playing, 10 tapes, and lots of information, but powerful information. I did this over an entire year. We just finished it. Just finished about 3 weeks ago. So it's relevant and it's new. And it's funny. There's a lot of humor in there because it's interactive with the audience. And I realize that, you know, it's not all intense. It's a lot of joy. It's a lot of, got that. And you can just see the lights going off. And it's fun at the end of a session. I always spend at the end of it. I turn off the mics and I spend probably 2 hours just talking with people what they got. And you get good feedback. And then the next meeting, people tell you how they use that information, and that's even more powerful. Well, if you want to get on the road to wellness, happiness, joy, and I think that's part of what we're here for, then the 10 Steps to a Joyful and Happy Life can assist you. Fellas?
All right, and that 10-step, again, audio cassette, that audio cassette lecture series recorded live from Gary Null is all available to you, those of you in the listening audience who can make your pledge to WBAI at a $200 level. It sounds like a lot, but as Gary has been outlining, Gary is not on the lecture circuit much these days, so these are, in fact, quite rare, and it's very powerful information that you can put to an extraordinary use. Now, there are other packages that we can talk about and that we can offer you. Our phone number, again, is 212-209-2950. There is that other 10-part lecture series on women's health. Very, very important, especially for those of you who are catching up to us now and for whom this program is rather new. We got some very good calls for that yesterday, and we can take more of them. Thank you for that first call. We want to see this tally stay busy as we go into our final week of this fundraising drive. We trust that it shall all be over in a week's time or so, and you would normally be hearing Natural Living with Gary Null uninterrupted by
No, you didn't say a week or so.
No.
It's anything shorter than that.
It will be over.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about that.
This is not like herpes. This doesn't last forever.
The choice that we're asking you to make this afternoon is to support this radio station, to support WBAI, so that we can continue to bring you programs like Natural Living with Gary Null. Give us a call now at 212-209-2950. The 10 Steps to a Joyful, Happy Life that Gary was just talking about is yours for a pledge of $200, and you can make your pledges to WBAI using your Visa or MasterCard or American Express. Everything that you do is tax-deductible here, and talk to the people in Tally. They're awaiting your calls right now. The joy of juicing we talked about early on in this fundraising drive, the first week of the fundraising drive, that is still available for a pledge of $75. If you would like to do that, you can make your pledges to WBAI right now. $50 is a regular subscription to WBAI, $25 if you're a student or a senior citizen. But if you'd like to put forward that $200, you will get the 10 Steps to a Joyful, Happy Life by calling us at WBAI. This is a listener-sponsored, commercial-free radio station in the middle of the FM band. We have been here for 41 years. Natural Living has been a part of this station for 24 years, and we want to continue that tradition. And the only way we can do that is with your help. Those of you who are new to Natural Living, new to WBAI, we're asking for you to support us so that we can remain listener-sponsored and commercial-free, so that we do not have to rely upon corporate contributions for our funding. So we're asking you now to join those three callers on the line now at 212-209-2950. Take out a regular subscription, take out a gift subscription, do whatever you can right now. In this pledge break, we'll be going back to the produced portion of Natural Living with Gary Null in a few minutes when he gets his guests up. But we take this time out now to ask you to support us here at WBAI.
Okay, and three people are on the line. We have a good complement of folks in the tally room ready to take those calls. Thank you for that fourth call. There are other premiums that you can ask about if you've been hearing about them during these first 2 weeks of the drive, the various books, Joy of Juicing, Baby Boomer's Guide to Life, or the very important one, Food, Mood, Body, Connection. All of those are still available if you want to make your pledge at those levels. You can call in. Folks in Tally, whoever picks up the phone, will sort of walk you through the process. It's very easy. It's rather quick. If you do have the plastic and want to do this on a credit card, you can make your pledge to WBAI on MasterCard, Visa, or American Express. That tends to speed things up from our point of view. Sort of alleviate some of the pressure from your point of view, and that you can pay at your own pace, as they say, and deal with the delights of compounding interest. Five people on the line right now. We can take about four more of you. Again, we're going to try to get back into Natural Living, into the produced programming as soon as we possibly can. We have a big day coming up. Those of you into the PC, the award-winning personal computer show will be coming your way tonight, beginning at 8 o'clock. in an expanded edition, and they'll be doing their regular program, but also offering you some very important software seminars and information as part of their leg of the fundraising drive. That show beginning, the personal computer show, beginning at 8 p.m. Six people on the line right now. We have the capacity, Michael G., for, I think, about 12 lines to be
at
lit.
At least.
And there has not been a single day when we haven't come before you, and this audience hasn't hit the bingo at some point during the pitch breaking, and we fully expect that you folks will be ready to do that. Now, remember, you can make the pledge for $50, the basic membership. The Joy of Juicing book is the least expensive of everything that's on the plate right now as far as the Natural Living Premia. The Joy of Juicing book, Creative Cooking with Your Juicer, that from Gary Null and Shelley Null. It is pre-release edition. So that's a wonderful item to get. And remember, you can make your pledge and send these items off to other people as presents, or because they're in your thoughts, especially some of the seminars, whether it's the seminars or the Joy of Juicing or the other items, the women's health seminars. Again, this is audio tape. This is cassette tape. You can, you know, use it in your car. Those of you who take these long drives, you can use it in your car and educate yourself that way. The real point is to get the information to you. For some people, it's better to get it through audio. For some, book form. Years past, we've done videos. Gary does a lot of documentary videos. Whatever means works for you to get the information to give you a greater sense of your options as a human being, especially your options when it comes to your health and your nutrition. Whatever means that gets the information to you in a form that you can activate is the means that you are free to choose at this point. Of course, the primary means here is the radio itself and the program itself. And if you want to make your pledge to support the program, all of these premiums, all of these projects, these are enticements. And in the best of all possible worlds, we could all come to you and say, three or four times a year, and say, okay, this is the work. Reflect upon the work that Gary Null has brought you over the last 4 months. The information, the guests, the perspectives. Well, is that worth it to you? Is it something that is valuable to you? Have you been able to put it to use? And in very short order, we would have everyone lined up to do their basic work of support. But we have to come to you in this way because there has always been a challenge of taking the information and letting it sit on the table, or putting it to use, making it happen, making it functional, using it for personal growth, personal life changes, and all of that. The reason for these packages is not just an extra enticement to you. In fact, what it is also about, especially the Joyful Healthy Life package, is about giving you the tools to take that information into the active realm, to take it not just as factoids and opinions and whatnot that you can just sort of cram into your head to make you more, quote, educated, but to actually take this information and put it to use in your life, in the life of other people, in your health, to make you healthy, to make you a fitter person, a person who deals with aging in a better way, who deals with others in a better way. We could go on and on forever with these issues, but it's about activity. It's about being active in the issue of your own health rather than being a quote-unquote patient. You know, just think a minute on that word, patient. You're supposed to lie there and be acted upon in the doctor's office. That is not the paradigm that Natural Living has operated under for, lo, these 24 years. 212-209-2950.
And we're asking you to,
How are we doing, Michael?
Well, we're doing very well right now. We have four or five calls on the line now at 212-209-2950. And just as soon as you're ready, we'll be going back to programming. And we were just talking about the 10 steps to a joyful, happy life. And you do not have to act upon the information if you don't want to. If you just want to have the information and have it as a part of your, you said, toolbox, your Gary Null toolbox, then you can do that as well. But the optimal thing to do would be to actualize the information, to use the information. And what we're saying is that the program itself has been here for 24 years, part of this non-commercial listener-sponsored radio station, and we're asking you to do some actualizing in that vein. If you've yet to become a member of this station, if you've yet to support this program, we're asking you to do so now. 212-209-2950 is the number to call.
Were we going to 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock today?
We are running until 2. So we have a full half hour of produced programming to go and more pitching.
All right. Good.
So that takes a little pressure off of us for the moment, which means we can if you're ready, we can get back into programming in the next few minutes and we'll come back to you on the other side.
Okay, here's what I'd like to do. And by the way, for the people who have not been able to hear the KPFK Roy of Hollywood that I'm on all night, I just got off of it this morning at 9, I've taken some of the most interesting of those programs. Those are never with guests. First of all, I couldn't get guests at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. So I do them as commentaries, and they're a completely different type than what I would do here. But I am, since I'm going to be traveling a bit now, I'm going to put a few of those in where I cannot do a live broadcast. I take my portable unit with me so I can hook up in a lot of places, but not every place has satellite feed. So you'll have a chance to hear some of those. I've set aside about 6 of those for that. And instead of continuing on giving you some of the latest in health nutrition update information, I thought it'd be good if we could take some calls from people in the next half hour and see what are the issues that they would like to see addressed and what would be the number of people calling if they'd like to participate and be on the forum with us.
Well, that number would be 212-209-2900.
All right, that's 212-209-2900 if you'd like to call in and share some thoughts or hopefully see what it is that can make it a little better world for you and everyone else. That's what we like to do.
Okay, and these calls would be specifically about changes that one has made in one's own life.
Yes.
Yes, that's we have to get that proviso out loud and clear because... 2 weeks into fundraising, there are some people who really miss talking on the radio, but this is a pointed and prescribed audience that we're going to be dealing with for the next half hour or so. But to make that call, we really trust that you're also making or have made the pledge call, which is 212-209-2950 to make your pledge of support to the radio station, to all the work on the radio station, whether it's programming that you're hearing now or the programming that you would be hearing in a week's time, which as we approach 1 o'clock would be Armand DeMille and the Positive Mind. Armand, I think, will be back tomorrow in a longer format. 212-209-2950. We have 4 people on the line. Thank you for that 5th call. We need to keep this thing busy and humming. We are, here we are on Wednesday. We're going to be only a few more days before this thing is completed and before it's done. And many of these premia will be sort of pulled from the table and not offered again. When we next come back to you asking for your pledge of support. So please be mindful of that. If phones are a little slow right now, this is really your time to come on board. Make your pledge of support to WBAI 212-209-2950.
It's really great to see because, as you've said in the past, as we've said in the past week or so, this Natural Living audience has come through for us each and every time we have fundraisers here at WBAI. So we thank you so very, very much for those calls. Please continue to call as we move back into taking some of your calls, those of you who have made changes in your life, in your lives, and would like to speak with Gary and share some of those changes with this audience. 212-209-2950, the 10 steps to a joyful, happy life.
Thank
for
you
for a pledge
call.
Of $200, for a pledge of $75. You can get the joy of juicing, something that was very, very popular and rang out very, very strong during the first week of this fundraising drive. We also should remind you of the Baby Boomer's Guide to Getting It Right the Second Time Around. Yours for a pledge of $100. That is brand new as well. And we thank you for those calls as they're coming in right now at 212-209-2950. Again, these pledges are tax deductible. You can make your pledge to WBAI using Visa, MasterCard, or American Express. This is a listener-sponsored, commercial-free radio station in the middle of the FM band, and Natural Living has been a part of this station for 24 years. We've been here. WBAI has been at 99. 1-800-795 for 41 years, listener-sponsored and commercial-free. Please continue to call us if you're traveling down the roadways, the highways of this metropolitan area. Take a moment and stop to make that call to WBAI and take out a subscription, at least the basic subscription to WBAI of $50. 212-209-2950, the plastic, the Visa, the MasterCard, the American Express, do that as well. We can accommodate you. There are a number of ways that we can take your pledges. So please call us now, and we'll be going back to programming in just a few minutes.
How many people are on the phone?
We have about 8 people calling right now.
Well, that's great. That's great. Especially the long, you know, we're right up to the end of the marathon, so it's a wearing process. And for everyone, it's a lot of effort, and that is important that we do what we can to support the station. Some people will, some people won't, and that's fine. That's what makes BAI unique, that there's never been a unanimous decision on anything in the station's history. And if it were true, then don't trust it. We thrive off a challenge, and that's good. But we're doing what we can, and I want to say thank you to the people who came in to give their time to take calls today. It's appreciated. It's a selfless act, and I certainly am one to support those selfless acts, so thank you very much. And again, just so you understand, we're going to take calls. I have a whole commentary prepared. I also have a whole lot of material on health nutrition update, but I'd like to also be able to see the changes you're making in your life. Let's say that you're not making any changes and that you suffer from some disease process and you want help. Rather than calling and asking for my input on that, I have been helping a group of doctors and nurses and people, and I've done so without asking a penny. I've done it purely, everything I've done to help them. But this takes the burden off my office, which is not prepared to do this. And I'll give you a number where if you do have questions about illness or therapies and want help, there are licensed medical physicians who can help you, and they're very compassionate, very thoughtful. That number is 212-252-1942. 212-252-1942. And I've given them all my protocols. In fact, a physician who came in today, I was going over some of his protocols, and he really needs to get updated, and he is now. And I gave him some protocols, and he didn't know that you could help people with hepatitis because he's never in his practice been able to do it. And I gave him 9 people who no longer have hepatitis. Gone. Totally gone. Blood work up normal and sustaining normal. And we had a long talk about that, what it takes to do that. Well, now he's going to take it back, though. I'm not sure, and he's going to stay in doing what he's doing in medicine. He feels that there's just not the commitment on the part of his patients. But I said, well, there are other patients who would commit. And I told him, don't give up medicine. Don't give up trying to heal people. Just realign yourself and be more realistic about, you know, are you going in the right place to help people? Or you could have the right practice in the wrong location or be influenced by the wrong clientele. So hopefully he'll come about, because the last thing we need is people leaving medicine who are capable of offering holistic input. And again, that number, not my office. Please don't call my office for health questions. Please don't do that. My staff can't help you. I'm down to one person answering phones. That's all I can afford. And so call them. They're there to help you medically. And that's why I've cooperated with them. They're at 212-252-1942. And someone just emailed me today, the 640-pound woman who's crying out for help, and I don't read the Daily News. So there's evidently it was in the Daily News. If you want to have that person who has that weight problem, who's not been able to get it off, I'd be willing to speak with him, and because we got Fred's weight off, 400 pounds off, heart disease reversed, depression reversed, and another guy who weighs over 700 pounds has lost over 200 pounds. So it's possible, but you can't do it with just diet. Diet won't answer that issue. But they can certainly, that would be a case that I find a challenge, and a very interesting challenge. So let's go to the people who have something constructive to share with us that we can all learn from and be inspired by. That's what I like to share on a program, new and positive insights. 212-209-2900.
Okay, and don't forget it. I guess we will go back into a proper theme and variations.
Yeah, we're going to start this. So I'm going to do the first half of this as a regular half-hour show.
Okay.
And then we'll do tomorrow the second half of that.
Okay, but we are going to continue taking calls, your pledge of support, pledges for membership, and for the various premiums, Joy of Juicing, or the Guide to a Happy and Healthy Life, or the Women's Health Package. Any of those lines will remain open through the produced portion of the program at area code 212-209-2950. Those lines will be open. Folks will be answering your calls at that number, and they will be ready to expedite things. You can, we do have some open lines over there now. We had a great flurry just a few minutes ago, but now before we get back into the programming, we just want to see that pledge of support and that vote of confidence in the Natural Living audience. Remember, a lot of this information came through the experiences of people in this audience. So this is just a matter of completing the circle. If the program works for you, if it actualizes for you, if it makes a difference in your life, then the rule is to pay it forward, as it were, to pass it on to the next person.
Yeah.
That means trying to sustain the program and the station that airs it. 212-209-2950.
And you're right. I only did one lecture last year that was open to the public, and that sold out in 24 hours. And we turned away about 3,000 people after it was sold out. So these are 10 lectures that are edited, that are original. And each one I spent weeks, working on it. And so it was unique. None of them are the same. You won't hear the same information on any two of these 10-hour tapes. They are all standalone, very motivational, very positive. Even when I'm using negative examples of things that are, toxic and negative, it is only to show then how to deal with it. But it's all positive. It's all upbeat. You feel good when you finish listening to this. You feel that you got hope, you got tools, you got resources, you have inspiration, motivation to go forward. And that's what makes it important. These are not feel down, feel bad, beat up on yourself. These are feel good. A solution is just one thought away. My life is based upon finding positive solutions for negative problems. You first have to be honest about the problem. And if you're honest about the problem, then you can be equally honest about the solution. So that's what these 10 steps are about. And the women's series, by the way, these are beautiful artworks too. I mean, I these are not just little white box sets. There's 6-color, 8-color separation. And even though it's not being sold anywhere else, I wanted something of people to get it in the mail. They open it up, they go, wow, this is very pretty. It looks nice. It's aesthetic. You can put it right up on the bookshelf or on a table. And, it's not nondescript. It doesn't come in a plain brown wrapper. One of our audience who was in the program is a really talented graphic artist. Her name is Rosa, and she's the one who did the artwork on this. So we thank her for that. So that another artist, a graphic artist in this audience named Fran, she was the one who selected the material. In fact, I had done, I did a total of 12 programs, and they selected 10. And I had independent people. I did the programs. I walked away, said it's on the table. Now you tell me what you think people are going to find most important, most motivating. And then I let 7 people from different walks of life, all different life energies, by the way. I intentionally selected each one different life energy to see what they would find. And there was a consensus on these are the ones that everybody seemed to like and get the most from. So those are the ones that we selected. Now, on the women's issues, I did these before hundreds of women and asked them to utilize the information over an entire year. In fact, it was a year and 2 months. And give me feedback. And then what I did is anything that I got in the way of feedback, I added it into that lecture. Now, you won't hear that. You'll think it's all just one solid lecture. That's the miracle of editing. So this way, we saw that people came in with fibroids, had them shrunk, fibrocystic breasts that a woman had, a whole series of women, including a series of nurses. 4 nurses had fibrocystic breasts for an average of 22 years. The day they started this, they had fibrocystic breast. The day they finished it, totally gone. 100% gone fibrocystic. PMS, we had divided it into two categories, severe and disabling, meaning cramps and having to take ibuprofen or something like that, and a very walking problematic. You know, you may not know someone suffering from cramps and pain or mood swings, but they were having it. They just learned to tolerate it. Gone. Women who were taking estrogen replacement therapy, synthetic hormone therapy, and having very bad side effects, gone. Natural hormone replacement in its place. Women who had breast cancer, including an oncology nurse who had been 24 years as an oncology nurse, a cancer nurse, in surgery. When she was given her diagnosis and it was independently confirmed and she knew her prognosis and she knew what was going to happen, she said, I don't want to go that way. I'm not going to survive it. I've seen too many other women who've gone that way. They didn't survive it. So she didn't even know about the radio show. It was her sister who did, who told her, come by this, you know, women's group that Gary's doing. And she did. And she followed protocol. She'd ask me a million questions. And after every class, she'd always be the last one and she'd have all these questions. Well, on the last day of the class, she stood up and she said, here's my results. I had to have them done three times because the doctors thought they'd made a mistake, that the x-rays weren't right and the mammograms weren't right and ultrasound wasn't right because there's no cancer. It's gone. Well, how about that? How about that? Think of that. How about that? Boy, was she happy. You bet. I don't know if her doctors were happy or surgeons were happy because she didn't do what they wanted to do, but she's happy and she is cancer-free today. Call it what you will. The fact is she had it and now she doesn't. And what about all the people who had fibromyalgia and diabetes? Corrected. Elevated blood sugar, even with insulin? Corrected. What about arthritis? Gone. Energy and fatigue? Elevated. So that's all in the women's 10 steps. And it worked because we did it. It's not theoretical. It's not anecdotal. We did it on a whole group of women. Over 1,000 women were in that study group on menopausal and premenopausal and all kinds of conditions. And they all did their blood work up and turned in their reports and did their final everything. And that's so you hear what advice I gave them and the protocols. And there are actual protocols in there, and there's actual good advice. That's the for women only. 10 tapes, but many hours, because some of those tapes are 2 hours long, on the important health issues. So those are the two really strong premiums today that you could get.
Okay, and you can continue calling as we get back into the produced live portion of Natural Living, the content portion of Natural Living. We do have open lines now. The folks appear to have been fed because, Michael G., we know there will be no food left for us when we leave here.
No, absolutely not.
So the number to call is area code 212-209-2950. Open lines, folks. Open lines. We'll be here until about 2 o'clock when we move on into the PA portion, proper PA portion of the afternoon. We're up over $2,000 at this point, a little bit slower than we had hoped, but we certainly know we can make up the shortfall.
We will make up the shortfall.
Thank you for those calls,
we will.
And continue calling that number as we get back into the program proper. Three people on the line. Wonderful to see.
We would like to thank the Caravan of Dreams at 405 East 6th Street for providing that wonderful lunch to the volunteers, to the folks who come down to the radio station this afternoon to answer phones and take pledges. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. We're going to go back to Natural Living, the produced portion, as you said, the produced live portion of Natural Living with Gary Null, with your calls, with
Thank
your
you for those calls.
Inputs. Thank you very much for those calls. You are tuned to listener-sponsored, commercial-free Community Radio WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM. Back to Natural Living with Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. I'd like to welcome you to the program. Today, we're going to be mixing both updated information on our health as well as comments from people in the audience who have made changes in your lifestyle? How do you feel? How'd you do it? What are the obstacles you met? Where are you at in your journey? For that, in the tri-state New York area, you'll be calling 212-209-2900. And I want to start by giving out some of the latest in health and update information, then we'll go to the calls and back. We'll bounce back and forth. This comes from Reuters out of Washington. Nearly 40% of the world's agricultural land is seriously degraded due to the problems like erosion and nutrient depletion, raising doubts about its ability to produce food in the future, a new study says. Researchers use satellite photos, maps, and other data to make the most comprehensive map yet of agricultural land around the world. When combined with expert assessments, the study suggests that almost 75% of crops, land in Central America, is seriously degraded, as well as 20%, mostly pasture, in Africa and 11% in Asia. They said, quote, "The result of this innovative mapping raises all kinds of red flags about the world's ability to feed itself in the future," unquote. Erosion is the leading cause of soil degradation in Central America, where hilly land is extensively cultivated. In Asia, salinization, water logging, and other problems related to irrigation are the main culprits, while in Africa, the leading problem is nutrient depletion due to a lack of fertilizer. And soil degradation also is a potential problem in northern Brazil and sections of Argentina, Bolivia, Colombia, and Paraguay. The world grows about 1.8 billion metric tons of grain a year, but will need an additional 40% in the next 20 years to feed a growing population. Separately, well, Nicole Martin, obesity in children at record levels, from the Electronic Telegraph. I'll quote it, "The number of overweight children has reached record levels, with the proportion classified as obese almost tripling in some age groups in 10 years, according to a report published today. The research, based upon a study of 694 children, found that 1 in 3 girls aged 11 was overweight, and more than 1 in 8 boys was obese. Boys at the same age had similar problems. 27% were overweight, and 1 in 5 was obese. Overall, 22% of boys and girls aged 7 to 11 are overweight, with 11% of girls and 12% of boys as obese. In 1990, it was estimated 15% of children were overweight and 5% obese. Now it's 27%. That's very serious. But it's understandable. Today, they're less active and eating more junk foods and eating a lot of dairy products like pizzas and ice cream, cheeses, hamburgers with cheese on it, hamburgers, all of which contain growth-stimulating hormones. But that was stimulating to the animal, but it could affect humans, and look at the results. Now, the being overweight is only one part of it. What they're not also showing by this study is that they're also doing more research showing obesity and being overweight leads to diabetes in children, arthritis in children, and heart disease in children. In fact, one study I read recently showed that 10-year-olds in a large group had advanced heart disease. This comes from Joel Ingardio and It's called Smoking Gun. Tobacco industry documents expose an R.J. Reynolds marketing plan targeting San Francisco gays and homeless people. Its name, Project Scum. In its efforts to increase cigarette sales in the mid-1990s, tobacco company R.J. Reynolds hit on a novel bit of niche marketing in San Francisco. According to recently uncovered documents, it created a campaign that focused mainly on two groups of smokers, gays in the Castro and homeless in the Tenderloin. The company called its new project Subculture Urban Marketing, and it gave it a memorable acronym, Project Scum. "This is a hate crime, plain and simple," says Kathleen DeBold, who directs a Washington, D.C.-based Montner Project for Lesbians with Cancer. What else do you call it when a group thinks of gays and lesbians as scum and then targets us with something that kills? San Francisco supervisor Chris Daly, who represents the Tenderloin District, is easily upset. It's racist, it's classist, it's oppressive, and it's really disheartening to hear. But I can't say that I'm surprised. Low-income communities and people of color have always been derided and taken advantage of. Obviously, the tobacco companies feel like they can make money off other people's misery. The papers that outline R.J. Reynolds' plans are among the documents made public by the major tobacco companies as part of a combined 1998 litigation settlement with attorneys generals of several states. Project Scum was discovered last week by an American Lung Association researcher in Colorado who had been calling the online archives of millions of declassified papers to better understand how the powerful and secretive tobacco industry operates. Anne Landman, who last year found out that Philip Morris wanted to attract more gay smokers by turning its infamous Marlboro Man into a gay icon, in fact outing the Marlboro Man, quickly passed along her latest findings to outrage anti-smoking advocates serving gay and poor communities. Said, quote, "This is a reminder that gay or straight, black or white, we are all victims of the tobacco industry. We all suffer because of their greed." That was according to Bob Gordon, Vice President of San Francisco Coalition of Lavender Americans on Smoking and Health. Well, this comes from Stephen Ransom of Credence Publications. By the way, it's a very good publication, Credence Publication. I look forward to it each month. And I'll quote it here. It says, "World Diagnostics Incorporated concedes weakness in its latest HIV smart test. Dr. Mu, the technical affairs vice president of the company, admitted the possibility that false positives," stating, quote, "The disclaimer false positives means that this rapid device, as any other rapid device in the market, might show a positive result on certain samples coming from patients with other diseases, like autoimmune diseases, or with high amounts of nonspecific antibodies, as happens in some diseases," unquote. When asked how anyone could accurately and with full peace of mind find pronounce an HIV-positive status upon anybody, Dr. Mu replied, quote, "Regarding your question, I personally would not be satisfied with a rapid test, nor with the ELISA test that comes to a matter of ethics," unquote. Well, then what's the purpose of the test? Makes no sense. Smart test, test dumb after all. Inaccurate HIV test spells potential disaster for Argentina and South Africa. World Diagnostic concedes weakness in its latest HIV test. A quick and easy HIV diagnostic tool known as the Smart Test is the latest product being vigorously promoted by World Diagnostics. The company's webpage includes the following headline, quote, "WDI's HIV test approved by Argentine government and South African government validates HIV rapid test," unquote. Unquote, "We anticipate that the business will add significantly to WDI's revenue and growth over the next 12 months. Shipments are to begin in October to supply more than 500 government-run clinics with a rapid HIV diagnostic test. The rapid HIV diagnostic test is 100% positive predictor," unquote. Now listen again, 100% positive predictor? That's according to Ken Peters, president and CEO of the company. Well, confident corporate statements, these may well be. Privately, however, Dr. Martin Mu, the technical affairs vice president of the same company, is not so confident. And in a series of email correspondences, what he has admitted to Credence personnel spells potential medical disaster for South Africa and for other recipient nations of the latest smart test. Before examining Dr. Mu's statements in more detail, let us briefly examine the inherent weakness fundamental to all HIV predictor kits. Let the listener be assured that a medical background is not necessary in order to grasp the key elements to the AIDS test controversy. In no instance does any HIV test measure the presence of a virus. The test measures only raised levels of antibody activity in the blood sample supplied. Raised levels of antibody activity are a normal occurrence in the blood and indicate primarily a well-functioning immune system. Scientific literature records show in excess of 60 separate medical conditions that can raise sufficient levels of antibiotic activity in the blood to trigger a false positive reading. These separate conditions include the flu, flu injection, malaria, tetanus injection, hepatitis A and B, hepatitis injections, renal failure, hemophilia, through the introduction of factor VIII into the bloodstream, organ transplants, alcohol and drug use, recent viral infections, and even pregnancy. These positive readings are then misinterpreted by the AIDS orthodoxy as indicating the presence of HIV virus. As a result of this misinterpretation, men, women, and children across the world are being wrongly diagnosed as HIV positive. Quite shockingly, the above anomalies, as well as known to the major manufacturers of HIV test kits, and all leading brands carry with them a statutory disclaimer. Abbott Laboratories' AXSYM test, for instance, contains the following wording, quote, "At present, there is no recognized standard for establishing the presence or absence of antibodies to HIV-1 and HIV-2 in human blood," unquote. Well, now think of that. Abbott Laboratories, big promoter, big manufacturer, big profiteer, over $1 billion a year is made off blood tests for AIDS. Gallo's behind getting royalties on that. So when you take an HIV antibody test, you think you're testing for the AIDS virus. Here they're telling you in their own package insert, "We can't tell you anything about whether you're going to get or have the antibody to HIV 1 or 2. So what's the use of it? There is no use to it. It's worthless. And to make matters worse, these manufacturers advise the confirmation of their test can be arrived at only by employing at least two other independent tests, and not their own. This is an excellent example of passing the buck, transferring ultimate responsibility and potential litigation difficulties onto a test product conveniently outside of their own manufacturing stable. To compound the issue, the independent confirmatory test advised by these manufacturers all carry a similar disclaimer. Thus, a test submitted that it cannot determine the presence of HIV is being corroborated by two other equally imprecise antibody tests that says they cannot corroborate the presence of HIV or antibodies. In simple terms, a positive reading of any of these tests carries little or no diagnostic value. Nothing. What comfort then for the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, who have been diagnosed HIV positive via these tests? Their lives have been quite needlessly ruined. Those who are battling for these simple facts to reach the wider public domain will know that the inaccurate nature of the HIV test represents only a small portion of the inconsistencies in the AIDS and HIV debate. The global phenomena that is increasingly becoming known as the greatest medical fraud of the 20th and 21st centuries. As in the case of World Diagnostics Inc., when the gloss is stripped away, the 100% accuracy it so confidently trumpets from its smart test is completely untrue. Its 100% accuracy statement was arrived at by confirming their test with the Abbott AXSYM system, the Pasteur Sanofi ELISA system, and then by Western blot analysis. The Abbott system we already know about. With regard to the Pasteur Sanofi product, Mr. Potter from Biorad, a subsidiary of the organization, which has since bought out Pasteur Sanofi, admitted that illnesses such as malaria, typhoid, and tuberculosis could show positive on their tests. He admitted also that their kit should not be used as confirmation of a positive result. Mr. Potter further stated that as yet, no company has any diagnostic tool that will accurately predict HIV positive status. Concerning the validity of the Western blot test, head of the United Kingdom's Public Health Laboratory Services, Dr. Philip Mortimer, has admitted that this test is not appropriate for use in confirmatory testing for HIV and has abandoned the use of the Western blot. Now, considering these factors and to the extent to which this one diagnostic company is now contributing to worldwide HIV testing procedures, Credence Publications approached the company under the assumed name of Protect Diagnostics and posed some delicate questions with regard to the possibility of false HIV positives being delivered by their smart test. Dr. Mu is the technical affairs vice president for the company and a former senior product development manager for PharmaCorp and engaged previously by such companies as Shearing Plough, Ortman Biomedics, and Epitome. Mel admitted to us the possibility of false positives, stating, quote, "The disclaimer false positive means that this rapid device, as any other rapid device in the market, might show a positive result on certain samples coming from patients with other diseases, such as autoimmune disease, with high amounts of nonspecific antibodies, that as happens in some diseases," unquote. What we ask, or when we ask how the company's test could possibly be validated by tests that in themselves were equally unspecific, he could offer no guarantees and replied, quote, "I have to be honest with you, our rapid tests have the same drawbacks as the ELISA test," unquote. And there are thousands. The tests are now headed for parts of the world where the prevalent illnesses such as tuberculosis, malaria, cholera, poor sanitation, and poverty-related diseases all could elicit high levels of antibody activity in the bloodstream. The potential for misdiagnosis is rife. Simple medicines for simple illnesses will be overlooked, as thousands are quite falsely diagnosed HIV positive. This misdiagnosed unfortunates will then be fed the country's generic versions of the latest AIDS drugs, in themselves highly toxic, and having the well-documented capacity to bring about immune-destroying illnesses and eventual death. More than likely, they will then go on to die a death that will quite wrongly be categorized as death from AIDS. We then ask how anyone could accurately and with full peace of mind pronounce an HIV-positive status upon anybody. As Dr. Mel replied, quote, "Regarding your question, I personally would not be satisfied with a rapid test, nor with an ELISA test that comes to a matter of ethics," unquote. So one is bound to ask, where are ethics on the to-do list? At the time of writing, the latest headline on the web page announced an AIDS catastrophe set to engulf Russia. Having calculated the population of this vast continent, and despite the unnecessary misery, suffering, and death, will only be part of the problem, according to Steve Ransom. The other part will be getting inaccurate tests and terrible drugs if you test positive. I'm Gary Knoll. And let's go over and say hello and see who's on our phone. Hi, what's your name, please? You're on the air. Let's get someone on the phone now. I'm assuming unless we have no one up, in which case I'll just continue on, giving you some more information. I'll ask our engineer, Michael, do we have anyone on the line right now? And the answer is no. Okay. Let's continue on then. Let's take a look at hazards on the home front. Now, this comes from King County Water and Land Resource Division, Local Hazardous Waste Management Program in King County, Seattle, Washington. Isn't it interesting when I ask people who want to ask questions about their diseases, oh, do we blow the phones off the wall? When I ask people who are making positive changes, it's silence. Well, gives you an idea of who's actualizing there. Let's take a look at things you should be aware of that are in your home that can cause you problems. Oil-based paints and solvents. Now, the hazard. Petroleum-based solvents such as acetone, toluene, and mineral spirits and menthol ethyl ketone and methylene chloride are among the most hazardous products in the home. Exposure can lead to a range of short-term and long-term health problems. By the way, you could have these down in your basement. You could have them in the garage. You could have them under the sink. And you could think, well, they're sealed. They're not going to cause a problem. Think again. These outgas, they can cause lung and throat irritation, liver and kidney damage, and cancer. And many of these solvents contribute to smog, and improper disposal leads to air, water, and land pollution. Instead, try this. Instead of the paints you've been using and solvents, use water-based latex or acrylic paints and stains. These products have greatly improved in recent years, making them almost as durable as oil-based products. They are less hazardous because water replaces most of the oil-based solvents. They dry much faster and can be cleaned up with soap and water. Now, if you're going to use a paint stripper, the water-based strippers such as the Safety Stripper and Citri Strip are good options. They work more slowly than traditional strippers, And it generally takes about, after you've painted them on something, you want to strip the old paint off, it takes about 20 minutes. But they're safer. And to dispose of them, use up and give away leftover solvents and paints. For latex paint, if only a small amount is left, less than an inch, let it dry outdoors, away from children and pets. Then dispose of the can in the trash, leaving the lid off. Now take oil-based paint and stain, and paint containing lead in cans of latex paint too full to dry to a household hazardous waste collection site. And they will dispose of it in a safer way. If you must use oil-based paint products, reduce exposure by adequate ventilation. This means making sure your windows are open, you got cross ventilation, use a fan, you got to keep that air moving. And to extend the life of paint thinner and turpentine, let paint particles settle, pour off the liquid, and reuse it. And old paint, pre-1974, is almost always going to contain lead. So removing it is hazardous. Call the National Lead Information Center at 1-800-LEAD-FYI for more information. Now, another thing you've got around the house or in the garage is antifreeze. What's wrong with antifreeze? Well, most antifreeze contains ethylene glycol and nitrites and is also poisonous and flammable. The sweet smell of antifreeze attracts pets, especially dogs. And if you drain your old antifreeze on the ground, dogs may drink it and die. A new antifreeze containing propylene glycol, which is less likely to harm your pet, is now on the market. However, neither type of antifreeze is friendly to the environment. As antifreeze moves through your engine, it picks up heavy metals, which are toxic to fish and other wildlife in the water. So how do you dispose of it? Don't. Never pour antifreeze down in any drain, as people do. Don't pour it on the ground. Take it to a household hazardous waste collection site. Once collected, ethylene glycol can be recycled. There are currently no recycling programs for propylene glycol. Another problem, motor oil. What's wrong with motor oil? Well, the hazards are simple. Used motor oil contains petroleum and metals from your engine and is both poisonous and flammable. Oil dumped into a storm drain is not treated and ends up in local waterways, damaging water quality and endangering fish and other wildlife. So try this instead. Recycle used motor oil. Al's Auto Supply, Shuck's Auto Supply, Q-Lube, BB Auto Parts, Napa Auto Parts, and BP gas stations accept oil for recycling. Oil filters should be drained and recycled. And to close the recycling loop, buy re-refined motor oil. Re-refined oil meets all automotive standards and uses far less energy to produce. Your car can't tell the difference between the virgin oil and the refined oil. Now comes something that every single person who drives has to have, and that's gasoline. The hazard? During winter storage, the gas in your lawnmower or boat or small engines can become unusable, requiring disposal. Water may condense in the fuel line, or gas may break down and clog the fuel system. Try this. One option is to drain the gas tank before long periods of storage. An easier solution is to add a fuel treatment to your small engine gasoline. The additive will not only prevent your gas from breaking down, but will also keep your fuel system clean and help your equipment run better. You can get a fuel additive at any small engine shop, and additives for boats can be found at your local boat engine shop. Now, to dispose of that, if you have gasoline or fuel that is already bad, don't burn it, don't dump it down the drain. Take it to a household hazardous waste collection site. Now, in addition, let's take a look at car washing. The hazards, when you wash your car at home, soap, scum, and oily grit run along the curb. They flow into the nearest storm drain and directly into the lakes and streams. The pollution causes algae blooms and harms water quality and fish life. Try this instead. Wash your car on the grass or gravel instead of the street or driveway. The grass or gravel filters the soapy water and grime. Better yet, take it to a car wash where the water gets treated and recycled. For more information on taking care of your car without harming yourself or the landscape, visit www.metroke.gov/hazvaste/hose/oilandgas.html. And when you finally get through all that, tell the person the next time, make a little tiny short thing like .com. Because I don't think anyone's going to remember all these dots and all these slashes and all these dashes. Some bureaucrat thought that, I'm sure. Because it doesn't work. And, of course, anything that doesn't work has to take a bureaucrat to do it. They actually graduate from college in incompetency. You cannot get out of school if you're a bureaucrat if you're competent. They keep you in there. When you're utterly incompetent, completely insensitive, incapable of any human feelings, totally dismissive of everyone's real needs, then you graduate summa cum laude, magna cum laude, and you go to work at the IRS or for an airline. Pesticides. What's the problem? Well, you know those problems. Pesticides may kill the pest in your yard, but they also can harm your family's health and your environment. Pesticides may poison children and pets, irritate the eyes and skin, nervous system. They can cause cancer and reproductive problems. Now, many chemical pesticides end up killing beneficial species such as birds, ladybugs, and ground beetles, which help to keep real pests in check. If pesticides run off your yard into storm drains, they're going to kill fish and other organisms in lakes and streams. So try this instead. To reduce your need for pesticides, build healthy soil by using compost, manure, and slow-release organic fertilizer. Choose native or pest-resistant plants that are suited to this region and your garden, and add plants that attract birds and pest-eating insects. Take leftover pesticides to a household hazardous waste collection site, and pesticides that are not banned or restricted may be used up according to the directions on the label, and rinse empty containers 3 times and save the rinse water and use as a full-strength pesticide. Wrap empty containers in plastic and discard. Remember, they're you don't want those things, if they've got anything that's toxic, you don't want them around you. Now, a few more things, and again, these are just helpful things for this time of year. By the way, you can always get insect traps and, there's all kinds of pests that will help get rid of slugs and moles and wasps. And natural biological controls, such as the BT for caterpillars, those are going to be your last resort. How about lawn products? Well, for those of you who have lawns, most Americans do, weed and feed products, which combine fertilizer with weed killer, spread toxic chemicals over a large area, and people, pets, and wildlife are exposed to the weed killers. And then rains may send the chemicals flowing into local waterways. Also, using lots of chemicals on your lawn will lead the lawn to being choked with thatch, dependent on chemicals and unhealthy. Instead, a healthy lawn is the best defense against weeds. Help your lawn grow thick and healthy by using a natural organic or slow-release fertilizer in the fall. These fertilizers won't dump a heavy dose of nutrients on your lawn or into the nearby water bodies. Some weeds, like clover, actually improve the soil. Hand pull or spot treat the ugly weeds. I go out in my lawn, I just pull them, and it works. Call 888-860-LAWN for more information on how to have a healthy lawn without chemicals. That's 888-860-LAWN. And weed killers are pesticides and are disposed of the same way as pesticides are. And one last thing about cockroaches and ant sprays. Insect killers work by interfering with the insect's nervous system. Insects are often found in the kitchen, where using sprays is especially hazardous. Instead, for both ants and cockroaches, start by addressing the cause of the problem. Remove all sources of food and water. Now, if you're a single New Yorker, then you'll never have a cockroach or an ant because there's no food in your house. Unless you count leftover Chinese dinner, then there you got a problem. Remove all sources of food. Seal foods tightly. Keep all kitchen surfaces, including the floor, free of food scraps, and fix leaky faucets. Look for entry points such as cracks and crevices and seal up with chalk, caulk. For ants, kill visible ants with soapy water or vacuum. It's a trip. Think if you're a little ant, you get sucked into a vacuum. It's like you going on the world's biggest roller coaster. They're probably laughing the whole way, laying on their belly, and going, wow, what a treat. Of course, they're still alive when they get into the bag and everything else in there they can eat for a while, but they were not going to be eating you or biting you. And I do something else. I just put a little bit of alcohol, isopropyl alcohol, rubbing alcohol with water, put it in a little spritzer, and spray them, and like in a quarter of a second, they're gone. That kills them. That kills roaches, kills ants instantly. Now, some less toxic chemicals like silica gel and pyrethrum-based aerosols are available, but they'll have little effect unless food sources are removed. In addition to addressing food, water, and entry points, get rid of old newspapers, garbage bags, and clutter. Use roach traps, like little roach hotels that go in. They get stuck on the adhesive, and then it keeps it non-toxic. And one other thing while I'm at it, flea control. Most commercial chemicals that kill fleas in the home, like fog or bombs, are highly flammable and pose danger to the eyes and skin. And researchers found residues of some of these chemicals in homes 21 days after spraying. And that's not good. And what if you have a kid in there that's got asthma? You don't want that. So what do you do? Well, you can't control fleas with a single product. You'll need to take several steps. Use a flea comb regularly during flea season. As you comb your pet, keep dipping the comb in a bowl of soapy water and pull out the fur caught in the comb. And that drowns the fleas. Wash your pet's bedding weekly with fleas. When they got fleas, that'll kill them off. And also, if you can get your pet to be bathed, put in some warm soapy water, and as long as the pet's under that water, except for the head, those fleas are going to be drowned. Fleas are kind of smart. You got to watch them go up around the ears. And vacuum your home on a regular basis. With an agitator vacuum cleaner, dispose of the vacuum bags in the trash or fasten a plastic bag over the end of the vacuum cleaner until you vacuum again. Now, that still leaves oven cleaners and metal cleaners and toilet bowl cleaners and drain cleaners. And those you want to, well, I'll get to those on another program. I'm just looking here, and we're coming up to halfway mark in our show. I'm Gary Nall, and we're talking about things that make a difference each day in our lives. We're going to take a station ID to break. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.